Do you know for sure, without a doubt, that you are going to heaven one day when you die? How would you answer that question? How do you know? Well, I'm a good person. I'm kind. I'm generous. I'm giving. I help others. I serve others. I do a lot of good works. I'm a deacon at the church. I sing in the choir. I'm a children's ministry teacher. Are those the things that will get you into heaven? Will good works get you into heaven? Paul says in Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And in verse 23, he goes on to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the path to salvation? How is it that we come to know Christ and know that we have an eternal life in heaven with him? Listen in as we unpack Romans chapter 3. Welcome to the 1 year audio Bible podcast. Today is July 16th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 24, 1 to 12. Now Balaam, seeing that it pleased Hashem to bless Israel, did not, as on previous occasions, go in search of omens, but turned his face toward the wilderness. As Balaam looked up and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the spirit of Hashem came upon him. Taking up his theme, he said, word of Balaam, son of Beor, word of the man whose eye is true, word of him who hears Hashem's speech, who beholds visions from the Almighty, prostrate, but with eyes unveiled. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. Like palm groves that stretch out, like gardens beside a river, like aloes planted by Hashem, like cedars beside the water. Their boughs drip with moisture, their roots have abundant water. Their king shall rise above Agag, their kingdom shall be exalted. Hashem, who freed them from Egypt, is for them like the horns of the wild ox. They shall devour enemy nations, crush their bones, and smash their arrows. They crouch, they lie down like a lion, like the king of beasts, who dare rouse them. Blessed are they who bless you, and cursed are they who curse you. Enraged at Balaam, Balak struck his hands together. I called you, Balak said to Balaam, to curse my enemies, and instead you have blessed them these three times. Back with you at once to your own place. I was going to reward you richly, but Hashem has denied you the reward. Balaam replied to Balak, but I even told the messengers that you sent me. Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not of my own accord do anything good or bad contrary to Hashem's command. What Hashem says, that I must say. 1 Chronicles 23, 1 to 23, 32. When David reached a ripe old age, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. Then David assembled all the officers of Israel and the Kohanim and the Levi'im. The Levi'im from the age of 30 and upward were counted. The head count of their males was 38,000. Of these, there were 24,000 in charge of the work of the house of Hashem, 6,000 officers and magistrates, 4,000 gatekeepers, and 4,000 for praising Hashem with instruments I devised for singing praises. David formed them into divisions. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kehat, and Merari. The Gershonites, Ladan, and Shimei. The sons of Ladan, Jechiel, the chief, Zetham, and Joel, three. The sons of Shimei, Shelomith, Haziel, and Haran, three. These were the chiefs of the clans of the Ladanites. And the sons of Shimei, Jahath, Zina, Jeush, and Beriah. These were the sons of Shimei, four. Jahath was the chief, and Ziza the second. But Jeush and Beriah did not have many children, so they were enrolled together as a single clan. The sons of Kehat: Amram, Izhar, Chevron, and Uziel, 4. The sons of Amram: Aaron and Moses. Aaron was set apart, he and his sons, forever to be consecrated as most holy, to make burnt offerings to Hashem and serve him and pronounce blessings in his name forever. As for Moses, the man of Hashem, his sons were named after the tribe of Levi. The sons of Moses: Gershom and Eleazar. The sons of Gershom: Shebuel the chief. And the sons of Eleazar were Rehabiah the chief. Eleazar had no other sons, but the sons of Rehabiah were very numerous. The sons of Izhar: Shelomith the chief. The sons of Chevron: Jeriah the chief, Amariah the second, Jachaziel the third, and Jekamim the fourth. The sons of Uziel: Micah the chief, and Ishiah the second. The sons of Merari: Mali and Mushi. The sons of Mali: Eleazar and Kish. Eleazar died having no sons but only daughters. The sons of Kish: their kinsmen married them. The sons of Mushi: Mali, Eder, and Jeremoth, 3. These are the sons of Levi by clans, with their clan chiefs, as they were enrolled, with a list of their names by heads, who did the work of the service of the house of Hashem from the age of 20 and upward. For David said, God of Israel has given rest to his people and made his dwelling in Jerusalem forever. Therefore, the Leviim need not carry the Mishkan and all its various service festivals. Among the last acts of David was the counting of the Leviim from the age of 20 and upward. For their appointment was alongside the Aaronites for the service of the house of Hashem, to look after the courts and the chambers, and the purity of all the holy things, and the performance of the service of the house of Hashem, and the rows of bread and the fine flour for the meal offering, and the unleavened wafers and the cakes made on the griddle and soaked, and every measure of capacity and length, and to be present every morning to praise and extol Hashem, at evening too, and whenever offerings were made to Hashem, according to the quantities prescribed for them on Sabbath, new moons, and holidays regularly before Hashem, and so to keep watch over the tent of meeting, over the holy things, and over the Aaronites, their kinsmen, for the service of the house of Hashem. Romans 3, 9 to 31. What then? Are we Jews better than they, Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands, there is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ to all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yes, we establish the law. Psalm 12, 1 to 8. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffs at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Proverbs 19:13-14. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Romans chapter 3. And there's some really important foundational truths from this chapter. And basically what this chapter is laying out for us, it's really well done by Paul. He's talking about the law that was given to Moses at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and then, of course, all the rest of it, the first five books of the Bible. And can we be justified, made right with God, by simply obeying the law? Well, Romans chapter 3 tells us, no. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so what's the purpose of the law? Why did God give us the law if he knew we wouldn't be able to keep it? Well, verse 20 tells us the purpose of the law. In verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the purpose of the law was to make us aware of our sin. It's like looking in a mirror, and if you've been outside and working hard and doing outdoor work, and you come in and you look in the mirror, you see you've got some dirt on your face. You see that you need a shower. The law is a mirror. And when we look into the law, when we read it, we come under conviction that we've broken it. We have fallen short. Now, this is so important and so foundational because many different religions, for example, Mormonism or Judaism or other kinds of denominations, actually, it can happen in any church setting, not even tied to any particular denomination. What we can happen is if you've been in church and if you've never actually had a born again experience where you have invited Jesus into your heart, you simply go to church because your husband goes, or because your wife goes, or because your parents go, and so they take you with them. And it's just a habit. It's a habit that you do, and it's a good thing to do. But people think, well, if I'm a good person and I do good deeds, and I help others, and I'm kind, and I'm giving, then that'll get me to heaven. No, it won't. It's like trying to cross the Grand Canyon and you're trying to jump across on foot. We all fall short. It's all by faith. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, to all and upon all of them that believe. For there is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, how we are justified, how we come to salvation, is by believing, first of all, that Jesus did die on the cross and that he rose again for me, for you, my friend. And when we see, we're aware, we read the book, the Bible, and we see, I have fallen short. I've had bitterness. I've had unforgiveness. I've been selfish. I've lied. I've stolen. I've cheated. I've had unclean thoughts, thoughts of lust. All of those things, if you break even one part of the law, it's as though you've broken the entire law. We've all sinned, and Jesus died. He took the punishment that you and I deserve. The penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so it's all by faith that we put our trust in Jesus Christ. But here's the other deal. You can have had a born-again experience and come to know Jesus and asked him into your heart and begun the journey, the walk of faith in faith. But what can happen is if you've been in church for a long time, for many years, we can slowly over time start to fall into a works and a performance mode. It can happen in any church setting, in any denomination, but certain denominations tend to be a lot more prone to the works, performance, obedience to the law. Hebrew Roots, as an example, and there are notable exceptions, but as a whole, they tend to be very works-based and performance-based and obey the law, obey the law, but you can't do it in your own flesh. You're going to fall short. It's all by faith. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. And so I challenge you today, are you in the faith? Have you slipped away from total connection and relationship and intimacy with Jesus? Are you trying to walk the Christian life out in your own efforts, in your own strength, in your own flesh? Is it just a routine that you attend church on a Sunday? And then you do your own thing the rest of the week. Are you in the faith? Do you have relationship with Jesus? Or are you relying upon good works and performance and earning God's approval? It's all by faith. We begin in faith, and then we continue each day by faith, by trusting in Jesus and being led by His Holy Spirit. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.